As I mentioned to you sometime the last couple of days, that Christ is not just an example for us, an example of us. He's both of those things. And Jesus came, though God, very God, He emptied Himself of His right to live out of that. And He came as the second Adam to show us how mankind was supposed to live by faith. And so He came and lived in union with His Father four different times in the Gospel of John. He said He was in the Father and the Father was in Him. Then, of course, He invites us into that relationship that we're going to be in Him and He's going to be in us. And there's just this mutual indwelling about Jesus' destiny and His purpose. I mean, it says that in John 1:18, He said, "No man has seen God at any time." But it says Jesus has revealed Him, explained Him. And so Christ came to be Father-like. Father-likeness. Our calling, Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, so send I you," is to be Christ-like. If you were to like ask me, can you sum up what is our destiny? And it's a predestiny, so it's not like you get to vote on your own destiny. You have different vocations. Your destiny may be lived out in different ways, but every Christian carries the same predestiny to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Alrighty? We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Here's His purpose. To whom He foreknew, He also predestined. To whom He to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. A lot of Christ-like people. And whom He predestined, past tense, He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified, all past tense. And those whom He justified, He also glorified, past tense. And we know that one day we're going to get a glorified body, future tense, right? But there's something, there's a glory about you and me already. And what is that? Glenn mentioned it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so here's the deal about our God, as He said, here's the calling. Here's the predestiny, here's the purpose, that you'd be conformed to the image of My Son. But I didn't like pat you on the back and say your sins are forgiven, and then wind you up and go, now do the best you can to be like Jesus. You know, one of the most famous books in history, it's like one of the worst books ever written, The Imitation of Christ. Christianity is not an imitation of Jesus. We don't live the Christian life by looking in here, memorizing things about Jesus, and going back, now Jesus, remember this one? What would you do? Remember that one? What would Jesus do? Now finish it. What would Jesus do? What? If He were here. Well, where is He? Well, He's up in heaven cheering me on. I need to memorize as much as I can, take snapshots, and do the best I can to imitate Jesus. That's a really horrible theology. God doesn't need any cheap imitations. Which, if you try to do it on your own, is what we would get. But instead, He said, I've called you with this purpose. Here's the destiny. My calling is a predestiny, is to be conformed to the image of My Son, and I've equipped you with the glory of His presence in you so that you can actually fulfill your destiny. We all carry the same predestiny. Now, Jesus said in John 17, I can find it in the midst of all my scribbling. Verse 22, and the glory which You've given Me, I've given them, that they may be one as we're one. What glory did the Father give Him? The Holy Spirit that made the life of the Father real in Him. What glory have we now given? The Holy Spirit who makes the life of Jesus real in us. So Jesus was the prototype of a human living in union with God. That life that we're called to, He called to be Father-like. We're called to be Christ-like. And he did reveal the likeness of the Father. But he revealed the likeness of the Father, remember John 14:10, by allowing the Father to do the works through him. And how did he do that? By faith. The verse that Bracken read says an interesting thing about Christ in chapter 3, verse 13. Now we know that Jesus is going to ascend, right? And so at this point in John 13, that's the yet to come, right? His physical ascension. But he says in John 3:13, and no one has ascended into heaven, ascended, past tense, into heaven, but he who has descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. So Jesus descended, but he said, the one who has descended has also ascended. Though it wasn't the physical ascension yet, Jesus lived an ascended life. He was in union with his Father. Jesus lived on earth seated, in a sense, in the Father who lives in the heavenly places. You understand what I'm saying? He was in union with the Father. And therefore, and I actually gave Bracken the wrong verse. So here's the one, a couple before it. Says, he who comes from above. Remember I said Jesus lived the above life? He ascended. Even though he's not, quote, ascended, he's ascended. He was Jacob's ladder. There was this ascended life. And so he saw everything from heaven's perspective because he was in union with his Father, Heavenly Father. And so he saw things in union with his Father, saw things through the eyes of his Father as the Son of Man. And so he who comes from above, that's not talking about like I stepped out of heaven and came to earth. He who comes at every situation from an above perspective, from heaven's perspective, is above all. You're not a victim to anything. You're an overcomer because you're not seeing things from earth's report. You're seeing things from heaven's report. In union, Jesus with the Father. He who comes from above is above all. He who is from the earth, but he who is of the earth speaks of the earth, but he who comes from above is above all. And he bears witness of what he's seen and heard. Jesus lived by faith in union with his Father, and everything he did from an ascended mind. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. You're in union with Christ, sharing his resurrection life, ascended into heavenly places. You're in union with him. Union. We live by the faith of the Son of God. Jesus lived in union with the faith of the Father. And the Holy Spirit's the one who makes all that dynamic work. And so what Jesus did, he came from above in every situation. He saw a situation. There's earth report. Boy, this is terrible. He saw from the Father's perspective, oh, here's the solution. There's provision. His disciples had 5 loaves and 2 fish and said, this is impossible. Jesus saw the situation from the Father's perspective and didn't perform the miracle on his own. He did it by faith. He saw it from the Father's perspective, and what he saw was heaven's provision. And then in light of that, he bore witness of what he saw and heard. And he gave thanks, as if provision was there, but you couldn't see it in the natural, but Jesus saw it. That's the Christian life. You're getting tempted again, the same temptation you've fallen into a gazillion times, but from his perspective, in union with him, Jesus said, you're dead to that. You don't get dead to it. Romans 6:11 says, therefore, consider yourselves dead to sin. You don't get dead to sin because you're considering yourself dead to sin. You consider yourself dead to sin because you are dead to sin. And so you get hit again, you've blown it 1,000 times, but we stand on the truth, not our experience or our feelings. And so we, from heaven's perspective, with an ascended mind, we, in union with his faith, remember, faith starts with what he believes, not what I believe. And I just simply come into agreement with what he believes. I'm in union with him. That's entering into his rest. He's not flipping out about anything that comes into my life, right? He's not freaking out. And so from that perspective, I see from his perspective, oh, yeah, I'm dead. No, that the slave to that died. No, I died to you. I thank you, Jesus. I just say yes to your victory. No, it can't be that easy. Oh, yeah, it can. It's rest. And then you go. Then what happens is the Holy Spirit manifests the victory incarnationally. Or if I'm praying for somebody, and isn't it funny, we'll go like, headache, oh cool, headache, Jesus' name. Cancer, ooh. Suddenly we're seeing things from Earth Report, because cancer's big and bad, right? But I'm telling you, he's bigger and badder than anything. Headache, cancer, it's irrelevant to him. So I, in union with him, see this from his perspective and bear witness of what I see in her here. And this is one of my, Glenn, remember him, one of our favorite Baptist guys back in the day, revivalists who taught this word easily. That's where I got this. Therefore, what do? You see and hear from his perspective, his reality. Jesus never saw or spoke Earth's Report about anything. Ever. You know, like if I'm watching the news and all these horrible things are happening, like Heaven's Report is all things are going to get summed up in Jesus. Oh, by the way, light shines out of darkness. Now, it doesn't mean I don't get concerned, pray for people, want things to happen in the kingdom, but Jesus ain't losing. I don't know if you know that. The kingdom of God is advancing, and it doesn't matter who's in office. But you see in things from heaven's report, in union with him, and you enter into rest on the inside, and you begin to bear witness of what you've seen and heard from union with Christ. You start acting like it is so and it isn't so in order for it to be so, because you know it is so. He says it's so. Isn't there a risk in doing that? How's it working out for you not doing that? How's it working out for you not living by faith? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.